Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sunday Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever. But, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
And you normally say, no human is limited. So I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sunday Podcast, brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. As always, Matt and I are back after our winter break. Well-earned rest, I think, mate. I'm all recharged. How you doing?
Yeah, it was lovely, mate. Me too. I'm recharged. Had some lovely Christmas gifts. You could always do.
Anything good?
Well, you know, on Radio 1, when they do the sort of like guess your age, I don't know if you listen to Radio 1, but they like, you know, people say like they give some circumstances and they say like guess my age or whatever. You could almost do that with my Christmas gifts, I reckon. What I get? Toolbox, head torch. How old does that make me? But I'm not 30 yet, so that's next month. But no,
mate,
yeah.
I got an M&S food voucher. Unreal. Yeah. So.
You've spent that already, mate. I've got no doubts.
Yeah, just going to get some posh picky bits.
Yeah, would you get some honey roasted cashews?
Yeah, a few sausage rolls. But yeah, didn't go too far, to be fair, in M&S. But nah, mate, yeah, good to recharge. Not much running to soak up either, which was actually quite nice. There's a few races gone down, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, I think, the biggest one over the festive period, wasn't it, was the New Year's Eve at Battersea and some great times. To be fair, on that event, one great event, fantastic races, you know, fast times were run as well on what was a pretty cold day, but crowd were good. It's just like the views after on YouTube, and I wonder like whether, you know, you just think those two races, I think the women's views on YouTube, the women's Battersea race is at about 90k or was just there or thereabouts when I last checked, and I think the men's is maybe 40k, something like that. And to put that into context, like Liverpool Cross, 40k views on British Athletics TV, or Cardiff Cross on European Athletics, 15k views, or you know, even the European Cross, I know that was aired live, but even the European Cross on YouTube, the men's race and the women's races were about 30k, 35k views. I think for those Friday Night Under light races and Battersea to have, you know, for both the men's and women's race combined, 120, 130k views in total is huge. And it probably shows, you know, where the sport is. There must be there's a big following for those sorts of domestic races. And I think that's very encouraging, you know, because that, and even British Champs on the Track, again, I know that aired live, but the views on YouTube are nowhere near the same level as what was hit at Battersea. So
it's just relatable, isn't it? It's the races that the people who are running, like the masses of the people who are running, they're aspiring to run well in a 5K in Battersea Park. They're not aspiring to run well in the 5,000 at British Champs.
Yeah, I think that is, you know, one of the reasons why so many people have tuned in. But, you know, we hope that they engage at that level and then they, you know, they progress on to wanting to see what's going on at that, you know, at the British Champs. And because at the moment, you know, if you're a runner and if you're a brand, you're looking, well, actually, bloody doing one of these Friday nights is almost more valuable. It's not, but, you know, in many cases, you could argue that, especially, you know, brands are so fixated on numbers now and viewing figures and stuff. So anyway, that was probably one of the key races. You know, it went down. Alex Bell, Wigfield, both coming away with the dubs there in good times as well. Sort of like, couldn't call it official course records, but Alex Bell, you know, with the meet record. Anyway,
always some 5K specialists as well, Bell. I thought that was an impressive run.
Millard, obviously going to be running World Cross. But let's talk about why we're here. Obviously, the World Cross is around the corner. It's Wednesday. World Cross is on Saturday afternoon. It's prime time viewing, 2:45 our time. It kicks off with a few under 20 races and then runs all the way through. I think senior men are 5:20. And obviously, all the other races sandwiched in between that. And so, yeah, we look forward to it. But we were just talking about how I feel like, you know, and I wonder if it doesn't help. It's just after Christmas and whatnot, but just how low key some of the coverage is around this World Cross. You know, I think we all know it's happening, but you know, it was very, I was trying to do a bit of research, you know, who's doing it and who's confirmed pre these entry lists being announced yesterday. And yeah, it took some scouring of the web to basically just go to each federation and try and see who they'd published, who's going to run. But now the entry lists are out, thank God. So we can scan through that.
Yeah,
but World Athletics, I think World Athletics themselves.
You pick through them though, don't you? Because they've got all the like the non-traveling reserves. They've got the full entries on there, don't they? So unless you know who's actually doing it, or
I personally think World Athletics themselves have done an absolutely shocking job at marketing this World Cross. They've got a preview article which is a couple paragraphs of that. They've got the Kenya team announcement, which was pre-Christmas. They got the Uganda team announcement. And to be fair, you know, now, what are we, Wednesday, they are starting to release a few more articles on previewing each individual race. Yeah, prior to that, absolutely nothing. So over to us, mate.
You can, fans can go and run the course.
Yeah, they can. We've run the course, mate.
Very much
enjoyed that course. We know the course so well. We've done a few laps of it in our time, and it is a hard testing course.
Yeah, if people want to actually get a bit of a feel for the course, I'd recommend going and watching NCAAs from 3 years ago. Am I right in saying?
Is that when Cooper Tier blows up? Yeah,
Cooper
I think Tier so.
Passed out, and can't remember his name now. Who won it?
Charles Hicks.
Charles Hicks. There you go.
Connor Mance? Adrian Wildschut was second. I don't think Hicks won it, actually. I think Connor Mance won it.
Was it Mance? Was it Mance just before he graduated? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Tallahassee, mate. Yeah, 2021, that one. Post-COVID era. But yeah.
There you go. Yeah, go watch that.
Give that a watch.
And get a feel for how tough that course is.
Yeah, I will just double check, mate, who won that. Who took the dub? Oh, yeah, Connor Mance, Wesley Kiptoo. Charles Hicks was fourth. I think Hicks won the following year, maybe. Adrian Wildschut was sixth. He's obviously going to run it for... he was repping the FSU vest then. He's obviously going to run for South Africa this weekend. But yeah, obviously, yeah, watch that. You get a feel of the course. It's extremely firm in parts. They've put in a few gimmicks, as they always do. There's logs. There's muddy bits. There's water. You know, I've just done the classic World Cross stuff to look forward to. It's kind of long. There's some tough sort of just... long gradual downhills and long gradual sort of uphills as well. It's sweeping. There is one steep hill. Basically, at the end of each lap, there's quite a sharp, steep hill, which takes them up from the woods back onto those top fields. But yeah, otherwise, it's very, very fast, really, for the most part. Like, I would say a good two-thirds of the course, maybe more, is kind of basically flat as well. And you can just rip as it weaves its way through the woods there.
Yeah, like you say, apart from the big long drag, it's super fast. I don't know what the weather's actually like. I've not looked this time.
Good
of
point.
Year.
Yeah, no, I expect it'll be, you know, pretty spot on for a 10K cross country. But let's remind people of the British team. Obviously, we got Rory Leonard, Jacob Cann, Matt Ramsford, Dave Malarkey. There's your men's team, women's team: Megan Keith, Phoebe Anderson, Verity Ockenden, and Poppy Tank. And in the relay, Kuti, Millard Fogg, and India Weir. And obviously, two years ago now, obviously, yeah, because World Cross was 2020. We did get third, and you know, Fogg and Millard were in that team. So, and with Kuti and Weir, you know, I think we can we sneak a medal again? There's more team. I'm glad to see more teams in that mixed relay. We won't give it too much time because it's just not the focus. But and also, it's difficult. You know, a lot of countries might have plugged in a team, but not really many recognizable names in there. So, but I think there's 15 teams. Yeah, 15 teams entered in the mixed relay, which is good. Do you remember a few years ago there was like five or six? I was like, what? Maybe not quite that much, but it was not quite that little. But I think there are a few countries
six and strung out as well. So there was
strung
no
out, but I think there were a few countries who were there. You're like, how have they even sort of qualified for this event? You know, they were really bad. But it looks like 15 actually competitive nations, which is good.
Mate, just before we, I've checked, it's 27 degrees on Saturday. So that is fairly warm.
That is hot. Yeah, that is warm. Flipping hell for a 10K cross.
So
it'll be a nice 27 degrees.
Interesting. It's not saying it's too sunny. It's like partly sunny, bit of cloud, but still 27. Humidity is at 68%.
No, humidity is usually pretty good in Jan. There, that's actually a lot warmer than I thought, but There's prize money up for grabs, you know, 20K for the individual win. But the relay prize money is probably something that our team will look at. 6K for third, 8K for silver, and 12K for the winning team.
Do you know how that gets
split up?
No idea. Do British Athletics take a cut? What's the...
good point, actually. I got no idea.
They take it off the cost of your flights and your accommodation, and then give you what's left over.
It's dollars anyway.
And your kit.
Yeah.
Probably not much left.
I got to admit, you wouldn't get much out. I mean, fourth place gets $4,000. You wouldn't get too much out of that, would you, by the time you've paid an agent and whatnot, and it gets converted back into pounds. Anyway. Let's talk about, so there's your teams. Let's start with the men's race, shall we? And potentially, like, what are their chances? I think I did a bit of digging, interestingly, 2024, last time out in Serbia, only two Brits in both the men's and women's race featured in the top 30. In the men's race, it was Thierry Indica Minaya, the Spaniard, obviously, who won Eurocross. And then it was Will Barnico, who got 26th. And in the women's race, it was Grovdahl and Abby Donnelly. So, good showing from the Brits a couple of years ago, you know, getting athletes inside that top 30, but that was it. And then you literally had to go down to the 40s, you know, to see the next European.
Has the standard in Europe improved enough that we're going to see?
The standard in Europe is phenomenal right now. I mean, the track and field, the world champs showed that in the summer. But the problem is we haven't got all of those athletes contesting. I mean, we're going to see Almgren run in Valencia. We'll obviously hit that Valencia preview in a... after we covered the World Cross. And I think, you know, even Scott Beattie, you're like, you know, where could he finish? You know, Barnico was 26th a couple of years ago. Could Beattie crack the top 20? I'd say he's a better athlete than currently right now. You look at his PBs on paper, what he achieved at Eurocross in that senior race, definitely pound for pound a better. And I think that was a shame that Beattie isn't running the World Cross Country Championships. I mean, Leonard's going. Can Leonard crack the top 20? That'd be a huge result. You know, when was the last time we had a man in the top 20 at World Cross? I think even, you know, going back to Denmark and stuff, in Australia, obviously we only had Zach Mohammed, but I think before that, what do we have? Like Paddy Deva might have been sort of 25th, 26th. You know, it's been a while, 20. You know, you're probably saying a good 10 years or so. I can't remember back 2015 during when, like, it was in China, Charlie Holson, Bouchard, on that team, if I remember. But but obviously BT's going to Valencia. He wants to get that European standard knocked out. And obviously there's loads of people trying to crack that British record. That's the discussion when we get to Valencia. But yeah, I think, we're looking at Leonard and possibly Dave Malarkey as well. You know, Malarkey has run fast over 10K. He knows the course. Leonard's run on this course before as well. Malarkey knows the course very, very well. He's been at altitude for a large stint. You know, I believe he's based himself up in Arizona for a long time. And, you know, so what can he do? I think it's just question marks over. He hasn't thrown himself in a race of this caliber, you know, with this depth and the quality you've got up front. I mean, the top 10 is going to be off the charts. Just the Ethiopian team alone. And then you've got, we talk about Europe, mate. The French team is extremely strong, and I'm so encouraged to see. I think the last time a European nation medaled was 2001, and it was France. I didn't bother to check who was on that team then, but that was the last time a European nation medaled. I think US medaled in 2013 when it was in Poland in those crappy conditions. But they've got a serious
good to see teams actually going after and targeting it. Like, you look at that French team and you think this federation or this group of athletes or a bit of both are going out there trying to win a medal. And this is nothing against the Brits we're sending, but if you think if all our best runners like got together and were like, no, we're going to all do this event and we're all going to try and be in really good shape for it. Let's see what we can do. And I think it's clear from the French team, like you say, that they're going out there with intent to do that and to shake up the party a bit.
Yeah, and do you know what? It comes from the top. You know, I think Gressier and Scrub, I think both of them, you know, put their heads together and they said, come on, let's go. We want to go get a medal at the World Cross Country as a team. And even Gressier in some of his interviews, you know, after Europeans and stuff, it was like, I'm running for the team at the World. And I want to get on the podium with those guys. I think they recognize that even for a guy, the 10,000 meter world champion recognizes that to get a medal at the World Cross Country individually is just, you know, an insane task. Just given how much cross country is still embedded in the sort of you know, Kenya, Ethiopia, and Uganda culture, and how seriously they take it. But that French team, Gressier, Scrub, obviously Gracie World Champion, Scrub Eurocross Champ back in 2023. He's run 12:56, 3:31. Deguinos, Etienne Deguinos, he's the guy who was the former European 10K record holder, ran 27:04 and 12:55 on the track. So they've got three blokes who are sub 13 minutes. And then Valentin Gundoyan, European half marathon bronze medalist, 27 marathoner. And then Fabian Palcao, who was a part of that team at Eurocross, who we saw didn't run that well, was 15th, but 27:31, 10K on the roads.
Yeah. It's four to score anyway, though, isn't it?
It's four to score, you know. Yeah, exactly. But they've got three heavy hitters, all sub 13. Yeah,
but that's what I mean. If your backup guy, Fabian Palcao, and no disrespect to him, if your backup guy, your fifth guy, is 15 for Eurocross, that's how you know you've got a decently strong team.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they will be the leading European threat, I think. And actually, a lot of the other European nations, I don't even think have bothered to. Well, I mean, we're obviously sending
Look at Ireland, but for example,
Ireland are just sending Brian Fay.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure double
chip just Fay.
Yeah, just Brian Fay. And I'm like, that's a real shame, you know, given their quality. But again, you know, everyone, you know, Boston's round the corner and stuff like that.
Yeah, you'd think some of them would, because of the location of the World Cross this year, though, almost go there, stay out there and have a little bit of a camp and then hit Boston. It actually, it works a lot better than it does when it's in March somewhere else. Yeah, I think this year would be the year where people do make the most of the location and the time of year.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's actually poor. Only three European nations are sending four or more athletes, and that's Spain, France and GB.
At least we're still doing it.
No, yeah, we are still doing it, which is great. But that is shocking. And I think, you know, a country like Belgium, not sending anyone. Isaac Kameli, they've won a Eurocross before. Like, they're not sending anyone. Like, it's a real shame. To be fair, you know, on the women's side, Belgium have a fantastic team. They obviously won the Eurocross as well. Yeah, I don't know why these European nations aren't more supportive of the World Cross Country Championships. Well, you know, obviously the Kenyans have, you know, Africans have dominated for so long, but I think we're starting to see the tides change a little bit.
Well, like you said, look at the world champs and look at how strong the Europeans has become. And it's not even just European nations. It's like it's nations outside of you, Kenyas, your Ethiopias, who are challenging for distance medals. And we're really seeing like a shift in that, even thinking like Canada, like I've got Mohamed, the USA team is strong,
very
as
strong.
Well.
Australian team is pretty much as strong as they could field. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not going to be, well, I say this, I'm still back in Kip Limo to take the win, but I think, yeah, it's not going to be plain sailing.
No. I think on that team, you know, on just, you know, a European nation or potentially a North American nation, you know, obviously the USA, I think it's going to be between America and France for that team to sneak one of those team medals. And you look at, so we just went through France's team and you look at America's team. Parker Wolf, is he won their trial. Is he as good as Gracie? Nope. Then you've got like Rocky Hansen, Wesley Kiptu, Ahmed Mohamed, you know, all these guys come through the NCAA. They're very, very, very good cross-country runners. Nico Young and Graham Blank, it's like pound for pound, is that a better team than France's team? Like what they've achieved on, you know, I think obviously Young and Blanks, they're both better 5,000 meter runners than people like Scrub, but I would still back Scrub to, I would back Scrub to beat Young and Blanks in a cross-country race. I actually wasn't super impressed with their, in the trial, the way Nico Young and Graham Blanks performed. I think they were the last men. Or
they
were.
They both
scraped in. I was like, they got run away. You know, Parker Wolf ran away from those guys and Rocky Hansen. And I think, obviously, they'd had a very long summer. You know, hard to judge. But I'm just not quite sure they're going to be at their absolute best come January 10th. They've had a month to improve since those US trials. But, you know, I look at a French team and what those guys are doing. They're running 27 low on the roads. You're 27. So they've got cross country. They've had these good cross country seasons. They've competed at the French champs, everything like that. And you know, I think it will be between France and USA. I think France might just edge it because I think they'll probably get a low stick. Whereas I think, I'm not sure that US team is strong, but can any of them break into the top 10 given the quality that's going to be on offer?
Yeah, I think you're right with that. I think the depends how Gressier does. If Gressier has pops a really good one, French will take it. But I do think, I probably disagree. I think Blanks, Young, even someone like Kiptoo, super strong over cross country. And you talk about people knowing this course. I think I think Nico Young would have been in that race maybe, or has definitely raced on that course in the NCAA, whether it be like in the kind of preseason. But yeah, they'll be ready for this with that extra month. And they're the sort of athletes that, look, maybe they regretted it afterwards of just scraping in, but wouldn't have thought they needed to be on top of their game to make the team, and will have improved since then. Whereas,
yeah,
I think the French, because of having Europeans, yeah, you got World Cross in the back of your mind, but you do want to go into European Cross being
ready
on top
of
your game.
Yeah, they had to be. Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And also that where the Americans had their trial was soft and it was muddy. And I think, you know, the likes of Nico Young are going to perform a lot better. He's going to perform a lot better on a fast rolling course, which is going to be Tallahassee. So let's see how they roll. But I think that's an interesting team battle. And then, of course, let's get to the big guns in. Obviously, we've got Kiplimo returning to defend his title. Winner in 23 and 24. Who was second in 2023 and 2024? Aragawi. And part of me does want to see, I mean, Aragawi, I don't think he's never won a global medal. He's won a couple of Diamond Leagues. But, you know, unfortunately, the Olympics, he's come up short, silver and fourth, and world champs. He's always been, actually, I don't even think he's podiumed at a world champs. And on the track, but obviously the World Cross Country silver last couple of times out. I'm vouching for him. I want him to go there. I want him to try and win. And Ethiopians, just like Kiplimo, they have been preparing meticulously. Their trial was done and dusted early in November. They've had an 8-week, the way they structure it, they go into an 8-week training camp. And yeah, they're definitely going to look to win the team title. I think they're heavy favourites for the team title, but can they sweep the individual as well? So they've got Aragawi, they've got Mahari as well, that youngster, long loping youngster. What is he, a 12:45 5K, 26:37 runner?
Yeah, you talk about youngsters, mate. That's what I love about these the start list. They've got their dates of birth on there. I'm seeing 2006 birth in a senior men's race, and you're like,
yeah,
sticking it.
Well, that does, you know, that does that
oh,
does make him
up
a senior.
Just,
but
yeah, forget how old we are, mate.
Yeah, but he's been. Feels like he has been around for the last couple of years, Mahari, but he is only 20. You're right.
Wow, has he got 1986 in the Australian team?
Who's that? Morgan McDonald?
Thomas DeCanto. Not heard of him, too. Like.
That Aussie team, by the way, that was a joke. Yeah. Morgan McDonald and Kai Robertson, they're two big hitters. And is Seth McDonald in there as well? Seth O'Donnell, yeah. He's in their team. He's had like a bit of a breakout year. And what did he win? Zatopek 10K as well. So he's probably one of their favourite. But Kai Robinson finished behind him and another Australian were sort of 20th last year, last time. 20th and 21st, I think. They were kind of your leading. Obviously, you had Thierry Dicamanai in 6th or in around the top 10. And then those two were your next kind of non-Africans. So who else are we missing, mate? We're just briefing here. We're briefing Daniel Abenyo.
Yeah,
I mentioned
Mohamed
Kenya,
obviously earlier, yep, as a bit of an individual shout from Canada. They do have a team, but he's obviously the standout. I think for me, what Mohamed's got is he's probably, apart from maybe Gressier, he's probably, and you mentioned Wildschut earlier, he's probably one of the ones who is certainly a world-class 10,000 meter runner, but he's got the being based in North America on his side. And I do think it makes a difference in terms of travel, understanding the course, and things like that as well, has run in the NCAA, which I think will play a big part. And he's someone that is consistently top 8 in making finals, over 5,000, obviously qualifying for the 10K and competing, always competing until the last couple of laps. And I do think he's got that going for him. Again, you mentioned Aragawi, not quite to the same extent in terms of being that close, but Mohamed is someone that is always there, but is never really getting on the podium. I think maybe he's medaled once, but quite a few years ago now. And look, maybe it's a time to shine for him. Obviously, he went to Wisconsin for his collegiate career and has plenty of experience running cross country in the United States.
Yeah, he's not. You're right. He hasn't been. Well, he's fourth in the Olympics, wasn't he? In the 10, he did get silver, I think, in the 5, but unfortunately,
last year?
No, not last year. That was the
Tokyo,
Tokyo, 2021. you know, so yeah, I think he is a little, for me, he's a little past his best. He's had a very underwhelming 2025. I mean, I think actually the only race he's done was the Canadian Cross. I think for a lot of athletes, this World Cross, you know, for people like Mohamed, is like, it's a bit of a bucket list. Like, you need, they need to tick that off. I don't know if he's done a World Cross before, but we certainly haven't seen him feature. You know, we've seen him feature on the track year after year at these major champs, but we know that, you know, when the Bowman was in their prime, they weren't that supportive of basically any other race except the World Championships or the Olympic Games or a time trial. So, for a lot of guys and girls, it's like, tick it off. You know, go and experience the World Cross Country Championships to see what you can do. But I don't think Mohamed is going to feature in this one. Yeah, I really can't see it. I'd be stunned off the back of like the last couple of years, the last year or so that he's had. But you're right, he is quality, and he has got that experience. And then obviously the European champ, you know, he leads the Spanish team, who probably have a small outside chance. You know, they've got a couple decent guys in there. But yeah, and the Dicky Minaya Euro champ, he'll be looking to beat Grecia again, and he'll probably be looking to get on the podium and be one of the first Europeans to do so. So that's pretty much your men's, you know, the Uganda team is obviously strong. I don't think anyone's going to be able to fight off the Ethiopian team. Unfortunately, all of their seniors have been able to make their way to Tallahassee. The under 20s have just, their visas have been rejected. So there'll be, I think there's five Ethiopian under 20s across the men's and women's race, when obviously they wanted to send 12. So they've had a lot of athletes and a lot of officials' visas rejected, unfortunately for them. And it is an issue, isn't it? You know, when you don't, like, I think it's a little bit easier to take for World Athletics the fact that these aren't big names. You know, the big names have already got visas and they've been traveling around the world and stuff, you know, like the likes of Agawi and Mahari and, you know, those on the women's team as well. So it's not an issue. But could you imagine this happening in another sport? Athletes just not being able to go to the World Championships because of visa issues? Like, it's a bit of a cock up. But obviously, it's all outside their power.
I think with it being in the US, it's been a particularly difficult championship for it as well. I think, yeah, if they're going somewhere else, perhaps it's not as difficult to obtain the right documentation and things.
Yeah, but thankfully, everyone else, I'm not that well versed in all of that shenanigans. But thankfully, everyone else is looks to be making it over there safely at this moment in time. And the other man that I think we have mentioned just briefly is Adrian Wildschut. I mean, he's obviously a sub 27 minute performer. He's a sub 13 minute performer over 5,000. Yeah. He used to run for FSU, ran very, very well in the NCAA over the cross country. And he's a phenomenal athlete. And yeah, he goes for South Africa and this is his course and it's kind of his time to shine. So can he sneak into, probably a realistic aim for him is just sneaking into the top 10, really. So yeah. There you go. I guess that's your men's World Cross race. They're the big names. We're obviously missing a few because they're all in Valencia. But the women's race, it's moving over obviously on our side, mate. We've got the likes of Megan Keith, Phoebe Anderson, Ockenden and Poppy Tank. Probably, you know, that is a strong team. And let's see with Megan Keith, you know, how much can she feature? You know, the Kenyan team in previous years has been sickening. They got 1-4 last time out, didn't they? But Chebet's not doing it. So we'll have a new winner. But, you know, I think Keith is looking at this. You know, she's very accomplished on the European level now over the country. Bataclitti won't be there at the World Cross Country Champs. Yeah, can Keith break into the top 10? I mean, maybe that's a big ask, but she's done it on the track over the 10,000.
I think she'll certainly try. And that's what we love about Keith, right? Is that she will certainly go out there with that intention, and she'll get on it, and she won't be phased when Getic is absolutely throwing it down, and I do think she'll try to go with it, and I look forward to seeing how that plays out. I think, yeah, top 10 would be absolutely huge. I think top 15, even top 20 is a great run, right? It bodes well for the rest of her season, but I certainly think she'll be shooting for that top 10, like you suggest.
Yeah, I think that would be like an absolute A-star performance if she did get top 10. And again, you know, I don't think we haven't seen that from a British runner since probably Paula was up there taking titles, you know? So, and I think this will be Megan's first. Did she do the senior? She did the senior race in Australia. Then she was, but I was going to say this was going to be her first senior World Cross appearance. But yeah, she ran in Australia. So, but she's a completely different beast, you know, from 2 years ago now, 3 years ago. But someone who can break in to the top 10 has done before, Wayne Ikolauti. And obviously it was a couple of years ago that she had a fantastic run. She really went toe to toe the American, what was she, 8th or 9th maybe, but they're a long period, you know. It was like to Chebet, you mentioned to Getic, it's like these Kenyans just throwing it down. And I think a few from that team actually have been busted for drugs since, to double check that, but definitely one of them, one person in that Kenyan six from 2 years ago has been done for drugs. But I remember thinking to Kilati, she was just hanging on to these, you know, these women who can run 29 minutes for 10K, and you know, they were just flying around there. I thought that was very impressive. So she goes in. Edna Kurgat, obviously, you know, another very, very strong American athlete. And Carissa Schweitzer, good to see her back. And you know, on her day again, Schweitzer is someone who like loves cross country, former NCAA champ, so's Kurgat, just to show their pedigree. And then, you know, they've gone there and they've had years on the track where they performed at a very high level, churned out the 5K times in the 40s and the 10K performances as well to boot. They've been there on the world stage on multiple occasions. So just as I think for them as well, it is a little bit like, okay, well, how am I faring against the world's elite in January? What have I got to do over the next, for the Americans, what is the next 18 months? You know, they've got no major championships this year. And I think that is why we're seeing so many Americans actually come and compete. And really, you know, one, it's on home soil. I think obviously that helps for them. I think it's a no-brainer. But also, you know, and how can they go? Can they come home with a medal on both sides? But also, there's no major championships, so they haven't got a, you know, a lot of them like to head to.
They haven't got to prioritize
the summer and stuff like that, which in a way surprises me that, I mean, let's see how they run, right? They might go and absolutely dominate. But I think it surprises me that we didn't see them in their trial when we saw the likes of Nika Young or Blanks. Like, I would have thought they would smash the likes of Rocky Hansen. But, you know, Hansen is at that point in the years, literally just got second in the NCAAs. Like, he's in the peak of his shape over cross country. He's had a full season and he hasn't had that long track season like they have. But I still would have banked, you know, guys who are representing the US at the World Championships, fighting for medals, you know, top five, top six finishes at the World Championships, and former NCAA studs. I would have banked on them to be able to put a current NCAA athlete away. But again, 4 weeks in,
it goes to how much we value the NCAA cross, right? And just like the whole prep they do, they come back 1st of July and they grind out ridiculous mileage, and they're on the cross course every week, running reps on there at race pace, which is a ridiculous 10K cross pace, prepping for November. So they are, like you say, they're coming into it perfectly. But this is where I think next week, more so on Saturday, sorry, coming in as a pro who has been looking at this in mind, like Nico Young's not looking at the end of his track season. He's not looking at the trials and thinking, that's my target. He's looking at the World Cross and he's banking himself, backing himself to make the team regardless. So I don't know. We will obviously see. The proof will be in the pudding, but I wouldn't bet against those American men and women, like as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Particularly Wenny Kilati, obviously, like fantastic career in New Mexico. Schweitzer, of course, like those two for me, big standouts on that US women's team.
And again, you know, it's a similar story in the women's race, just from like how many European nations are actually sending more than, France aren't even sending any women to bar in the mixed relay, which is poor. I think they're sending a couple under 20 men, obviously that men's team, and then obviously two women for the mixed relay, and that's it. But they're not sending any senior women. I mean, so actually, from a European standpoint, and this is why I think British athletics struggle to keep, you know, this is why they're now only sending four people, because they look at the other European nations, they're like, well, no one else is bothering. You know, why should we? And so I think it affects us as well, the fact that none of these European nations get involved. I mean, Spain is sending four, and Ferrero, who won the under-23 race, the Spaniard, Maria Ferrero, she'll be leading their lineup. She's definitely their strongest runner. And then obviously we've got four going out there. Ireland have two, Niamh Allen and Everard, who Everard was top 10 at Eurocross, and that's it.
I wonder how they decide.
That's it for European nations.
Surely they, is it at a point where they get like down the list of who they've got and people saying no, that they're like, nah, that's the cutoff. We're not taking, I don't know, we're not taking our eighth best cross country runner, or the athletes just all saying no. I really don't know.
That is actually so bad. Yeah, literally. So only Europeans, there will be 10 Europeans at the World Cross Country Championships. I mean, there'll be two from Ireland, four from Britain, and four from Spain. I'm just scanning it again just to make sure. This is in a senior women's race. Oh, wait, there's a Dutch lady. Sorry. So that's 11. Just one sole Dutch lady who Martu. Oh, and Sarah Lahti of Sweden. So 12. Yeah. And again, just one sole Swede. So 12 Europeans in a field of over 100. I mean, there's 105 of them or something, which is bad. And you think about, you know, the talent we have, Battaglietti. I mean, Belgium won the team title at the Eurocross, and Van Lent just ran the European record for 10,000. She just ran 30.10, which I think McColgan's going to try and claim back potentially in Valencia. But yeah, I think that's a real shame. And, you know, when we talk about it, you know, no wonder there's only a couple breaking into the top 30. But let's see what our British women can do. So, and we do have a strong British team. Like I said, we're one of the best. Ockenden, Poppy Tang, Phoebe Anderson and Keith. And if Keith can get that low stick, that's going to put our women in a strong position. Can the likes of Anderson, Ockenden, Tank try and sit around that? It's going to be difficult. But, you know, sort of a top 30 performance or a 30, getting in the 30s would be fantastic runs for, I think, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, Donnelly last time out was pretty high up, wasn't she? And I think 19th in 2024. And I think these women they'd place themselves in and around Donnelly. So they're probably looking at that and thinking, okay, we can get close to that. We can, if Donnelly can come 19th in 24, we can come 25th or maybe even in the top 20, right? And I think that's all we need, is just like consistently having people, one in the top 10, one in the top 20, a couple in the top 30, consistently every World Cross. And that's when you start to see the talent come down. And before you know it, you've got four in the top 20.
Do you know what's difficult, I think, about the women's World Cross specifically as well? You know, we talk about Europeans, it is 10K, and very few of them have any experience over 10K cross country. I mean, this is probably going to be a first.
For Anderson, yeah, you'd imagine.
Yeah, like in the NCAA, the women run 6K. Mm. And obviously Eurocross, it's a bit longer, it's 7.5, but it's probably a first for a lot of the women lining up at the World Cross Country Championships to run 10 kilometers over cross country. And I wonder if that deters a few. But anyway, so, I mean, Kenya have an incredible team on the women's side. I think they are going to sweep it. Ethiopia have a young team, not too many big names that we've seen in the past. It's quite a young Ethiopian women's team. And then I guess, you know, you are looking at America, just to give you an idea of some of the Ethiopians and what they've done. I mean, Getachew, she won the World Cross as an under 20 in 2023. She's probably their leading candidate. She's run 14:37 on the track, for example. Ayachu is a 14:30 runner, you know, sub 30 minute 10K. They've got a 220 marathoner in there. But again, they're not, then just with Ethiopia's depth, they're not names that you really, that jump out at you, that you recognize too much. Lauren Ryan and Maddie Skyring, obviously, they're a couple of Australians. Lauren Ryan, FSU graduate, they'll represent Australia, see how they roll. And then I guess, yeah, the other area that we'll talk a little bit about, just the mixed relay and what's the Brits' chances. I think third would be huge. Realistically, probably looking at a sort of top five, I think would be, top five would probably be expected. Third would be, that's a big achievement given, you know, the likes. I mean, even France have a very good, with someone like Guillemot in there, they have a very good mixed relay, and Alex Millet and stuff. So they, yeah, pound for pound, they have a very good,
pretty strong as well.
The US team very strong. Yeah, yeah. And then obviously, yeah, you've got Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda. So I think
at least with the relay, right, they can just get after it and go with it and see what happens. Whereas I think, look, I've said, obviously, I think Keith will do that, but I think the rest of the athletes, all the Brits in the senior races, they've got to be so careful about how quick they go off, because
yeah,
the first like Aragawi's first K and Ngeti's first K won't be far off the relay first leg.
I'd probably win the relay, mate.
It won't. So that's the benefit in the relay. And yes, obviously you can blow up in a 1500, but they can go into it and not be scared of it, and they can just get stuck in and have a swing and see how they go, and swing for a medal. Like, you can't, in the senior men's race, you can't just have a swing for a medal.
Yeah, and I think one of the things with the relay which does even things up is it's quite a new, like, no one really, it's a very difficult event to train for, isn't it? I don't think anyone has quite grasped how to get the best out of themselves in that setting. And so actually, it's a leveler, really. you know, because you might have an incredible 1500 meter time on paper, but, you know, throw yourself in a 2K relay where there's a few, you know, logs and mud. And I think, you know, there was interest from some of our top 1500 runners. And I think one of the things that put them off was some of the obstacles that they'd have to negotiate. And it's just, is it the hard punchy effort that I want to sharpen up for indoors? And I think all of that is a leveler, and it is hard to judge. And especially, you know, sometimes you're 20 meters off someone, you have to work back. Sometimes you're in front, you have to hold. And so you're right. I think it can be a little bit more competitive, and they just have to get after it. Talking of fast starts though, like the likes of Leonard Anderson, like they've got good NCAA experience. Like there's no faster start in the NCAA, you know, probably bar the World Cross, but even the World Cross, I think they sometimes hold back a little bit, and they tend to, the way these guys run, they do get out hard, but they tend to just drop the hammer. And that's what we've seen in previous years. I mean, Kip Lima in 2024, when he just decided he was going to go, and Serbia was a pan flat course, but it was sickening, you know, their sort of pace change. And I imagine the race will follow something similar to that. It'll be a large group. And I think when it goes, it will just go. So
yeah, I think you're all right there, mate. Probably not quite as quick as the NCAA, or maybe on a par, but yeah, it's
just, the NCAA is usually 235 first count. Something stupid, isn't it? So anyway, a step into Valencia, mate, because I think a lot of people might have more of an eye on Valencia this weekend. They might, you know, that might be out of the two. They might be like, World Cross, yeah, I'll watch it. But Valencia, I'm really intrigued to see what happens.
Yeah. And look, they certainly have a reason to be excited. Obviously, we mentioned Almgren before. He's second fastest on the start list behind Kenyan Edwin Kergat. So we've got 26.46 at the front, 26.53 in Almgren just behind. And when you've got four guys under 27 minutes leading the charge in this race, and of course all chasing a new personal best as well, you know it's going to be hot. Brits in there as well. We've obviously got Bouchard running. See what he can do. It's been a while since he ran his PB, but he's down there 27.36. Obviously Charlie Wheeler, who broke the British record this time last year, but was, I guess, eclipsed by Leonard in them both breaking it, and didn't get so much press for it, but he'll certainly be looking to better that performance. And then you've obviously got Zach Mohammed, and then of course BT, who's the one we're really missing from that World Cross team as well, looking to box off some standards for the summer, I think.
Yes. Wigfield as well. Wigfield isn't on the official Valencia Elite start list, but yeah, he's certainly a man to watch. He's in great form. Alfie Manforth, George Wheeler, you know, all of these guys have run low 28 minutes. So there's the British interest. I've heard a Mill's not doing it. He's a scratch. He's ill.
Yeah, he's not on the list, is he?
So, no. So this is, yeah, we've got the updated list now. So he was on there for a while, but yeah, he's a scratch. Unfortunately for him, because, you know, and yeah, do we think, I mean, probably the man who has the best chance of attacking Rory's record is his training partner, Scott Beattie.
You'd think so after that Eurocross performance.
I mean, obviously, Leonard had a fantastic Eurocross a month prior to him getting that record. So, but there might, you know, we might see an upset, but I would probably say Beattie is, you know, given the Brits there, is probably the firm favourite. Wiggy is in great shape. I think for Wiggy, breaking 28 minutes would be huge. You know, and I think that's, 10K is an event that I don't think he's ever given a proper go at. And so seeing what he can do over 10K is going to be interesting. But then there is a whole...
What is Joe Wickfield's best event, mate? That's the question.
He's just...
Because the guy runs over 1500. He runs well over a half marathon, and I'll be interested to see where he takes it. And I know obviously the way training is going, that we do just have a lot of distance runners, right? And they all are 800 to half marathon guys and somewhere in between. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Joe Wigfield's best event is, and it'd be interesting to see what he thinks as well, to be honest.
Honestly, I'm not 100% sure he quite knows either. It's definitely a question that I've been asking myself. Like, yeah, what? I think he needs to, depending on where he wants to go in this sport, over the next 4 years or so, five, he probably needs to identify that pretty quickly and be able to then commit to that. You know, looking at the Olympic Games and the World Championships, and in future European Championships. Like, obviously, the Euros are in the summer, so what? you know, he mentioned to me at Battersea that he wants to go run the World Road Running Championships in Copenhagen in September. And I don't know if that's his overarching goal, but also, you know, if he can produce a good 10K here, can he start to think about maybe starting to attack that 10K on the track? It's just, I think for a lot of people, it's the 10K is almost like a no-go zone on the road. Yep, happy days. You know, because you've got that dangling fruit of a British record that a lot of our guys think they can go and run. But on the track, it's like, well, unless you're running 27.10, you're never going to qualify for a championship. So it's almost like we'll just bypass the 10K, we'll go straight to the halves, and we'll probably earn much better money being a half marathon runner, running 61 minutes, running 60 minutes, than we will ever earn running 27 minutes for 10,000. And that's the reality. So I think depending on how he goes, that will determine whether he pushes for the half marathon come the World Road Running Championships and we see him in Bath at that trial, or he might decide that actually the 10K, he's got more to give. So that's they're the leading Brits. How many can we get sub 28? It's always going to be the question. But yeah, you mentioned Almgren. I don't know if you've seen his workout. He did 10 by K in about two, I think the average was 233. He did a lot of them in 232, started at 235. 10 by K off a minute on the indoor track. It was bloody impressive. And you're like, you know, what? Operating at that level, like what can this man do on the roads? We know he ran 26:53 last year. And so, you know, he then went on to have a great summer. And I almost feel like I feel like this man could be the one who challenges Jakob. You know, we talk about Gressier and we obviously Kimeli was fantastic, but I think Almgren this year, he could be looking at the European champion over 5,000, over 10,000. And yeah. I think if he stays healthy, that's going to be a big factor. And, you know, could he be taking Jakob on over 5,000?
Big ask, but Jakob's not the Jakob we used to know. I wonder how his preparations are going. I've not really
I wonder how he's doing. I wonder how he's tracking.
Got too much. Yeah. Kind of forgot he was around.
You do, mate. This is how fast the sport moves. You know, we're focused on the World Cross. He's not there. So why would we talk about him? We're focused on Valencia. He's not there. Why would we talk about him? You know, he will be back for sure. But yeah, I really like Almgren's progression. That session of his not quite as good as Bekele's. If you read Gebrselassie's autobiography, Bekele clips off. It's like when Bekele's just starting to surpass Gebrselassie, and they do 16 laps straight in like, I think he started at 62s and works down to under 60. Obviously at 8,000 feet altitude in Ethiopia, is just when he did that, he knew he was ready for the World Championships in 03. But yeah, and then who else we got to look out for? This
well, you mentioned obviously the team of Cowboys. Ephraim Gidey's in there, I'm sure him and BT maybe working together a little bit as well. You mentioned Kimeli. Kimeli's in there as well.
Habs is in there. Jesus,
yep.
I mean, talk about France's team at the World Cross. I mean, France's run is here. Yeah, Azzedine Habs, Simon Bedard, Pedrani, Michal's in there. The younger Michal, Saeed Michal, who had a poor, you know, for a 27:48, had a poor European cross. But
Foppen's in there.
Foppen's in there. Meyer's in there as well.
Duma.
Yeah, a couple Irishmen. Cormac Dalton. Is there 60?
Yeah, Jack O'Leary off the back of that good Eurocross run as well.
Yeah. It's 60 men sub 28, 29 minutes on this elite list. Interesting. Women's race? Women's race, big names. I mean, McColgan.
I think that's the one is how she fares and what Eilish we're going to see, because Eilish has been the number one British runner for as long as a lot of us can remember, in like recent years anyway. But you look at those British women's marathon rankings, and there's a lot of women up there with her. And can Eilish have like another phase to her career? Like, she almost had that where she was running the steeple when she started out and was decent and was making teams, and then she had the period where she's gone longer and really dominated, moving to the marathon now and more of the road stuff. Can she have another period of domination, or have we seen the best of Eilish McColgan? You know, I think it's races like the weekend and over the next year or so that we'll really find out, come off the back of that injury, because I don't think she can afford to have another injury in her career, like another big one that really sets her back.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I think, although she is someone who's battled injury her whole career and she's done exceptionally well doing so, and she's always got the best hours up, I think, you know, with Eilish, this definitely is a different era. She's attacking the roads. I think she's probably less about those ultimate performances at majors now, and she's much more about, like, actually, I just need to get out there. I need to run fast. And, you know, she's kind of done all those championships and this is probably her building towards London Marathon, right? I mean, you know, she recognizes that if I'm going to run anywhere near 220, I've got to be in low 30-minute 10K shape or 30-30 shape, you know, in that ballpark now. And then, you know, you go into a marathon build and she's going to hopefully be in a place where she can run 220. So, I mean, she's in a good place, mate. You know, this is probably the best string of results she's had in a while. 15:15 for 5K pre-Christmas. And she obviously ran a decent 15K and a sub 70 half at Great North and stuff like that. So I think, you know, if she's leveled up from that 15, I think we can expect to see her run 30:30, you know, something like that, which would be, considering she's run, what, 13? I know she's run 30 flat on the track, but she's run sort of 30:15 or something, or 30:20 on the road. 13:19, there you go. So if she can just get back to 30:30 shape or you know, 30:40 or something like that, I think that'd be a great base for her to then kick on and show that she can go and run, you know, 220. Because, you know, it's only the fact that we've had some freaks like Ngetic run sub 29 minutes that 30 minutes for a woman now is like, really? Like that? How can that be world class when someone's running a minute and a half faster? But it still is. You know, the amount of women who are able to run that, saying that, we did see that Belgian Van Lent run 30:10 for 10,000. More women are now starting to really get down on this 30-minute mark. Europeans, that is.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, mate. Someone else, obviously, from a British perspective, who's back is Sam Harrison. She'll be running, and really interested to see how she can do as well. And I think, again, someone who, if she pops a good one, could we see her get back towards her best this season? And I think in a European year, and like you mentioned, the World Road Running Champs at the end of the summer as well, there's plenty to shoot for and plenty to go after. Of course, Alex Bell's in there as well, like that great run on
New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve, Izzy Fry in there as well. Oh no, obviously off the back of Eurocross and no World Cross for her. Abby Donnelly's in there. So lots of women who are in great shape and coming off the cross country season and wanting to get stuck in on the roads.
Yeah, this is big for British women. And someone like Belle, can she? They usually say your 10K is your 5K, you know, double your 5K at a minute, right? For very generic ballpark figure. But I think Belle is pretty much in 15-minute 5K shape. Sort of conversations I had to her, and even at New Year's, she wasn't full gas, you know, from the offset. Like, she wasn't hurting early in that 5K. You know, so I'd probably say she is going to be very close to breaking 31 for Alex Bell.
Which would be huge. Yeah,
it would be huge. And Izzy Fry, Don Lee as well, they're going to want to improve on their times. And I think this is a little bit of, you look at Fry, you look at Donnelly, I think they're going to be contesting the 10,000 in the summer at the Europeans possibly. And yeah, they're going to, because the 5K
is going to be a real ding dong in the British women. It's going to be a real, like, who's the best? Like, bragging rights on the line. I don't think there's anyone in there. And like I said, we've not got the Eilish we had years ago where we're thinking, well, she's going to be out in front and everyone else is ready. I think these women are all going to race and see who lands on top, because I don't think there's anyone to be feared in terms of, like, those girls looking at each other. I don't think any of them are fearing the other women in that field.
They won't be. One thing I would say, which is quite tricky for the women, is at Valencia, is just obviously they're involved in, it's just a mass race and they're just involved all in with those guys. You know, the leaders will be taken care of. They'll have pacemakers sort of shielding them, looking after them as well. But it can be, you know, for a 10K where that sort of first couple K is crucial and the women do get priority and they do start a little bit further up. For these elite women, I think it can be tough when they start. They can get sucked into it, and they can end up blowing up. You know, and especially
They have the mass men right behind them.
Right, and obviously they just like swamp them and drag them through. And you know, you say the mass men is, you know, 200 blokes who can run.
Yeah, but because the elite cut off so hard, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it is a tricky one for them to get right, I think. I mean, they know their pace, but there's just so many bodies, isn't there? You know, that first K or 2K in Valencia, there are so many bodies. And I know it's got better from an organizational standpoint, but I think that is the probably one thing that these women are going to have to just prepare for, and they'll find a challenge, is trying to find a comfortable, you know, a good rhythm early, because there's just so much going on.
Certainly is, as we know, mate, from a few years ago when we...
We were there when the pile-up happened, and we've never been back.
Well, no, I think I ran a 6:20 first mile because I was stuck.
That's the way to do it, mate. Negative split. That's the way to do it. Anyway, right. I think that's it. I think that's that concludes the previews for the weekend. We'll be back next week with a roundup and reviewing the World Cross Country Championships. We're very excited for it. And obviously Valencia. I think Valencia is 8:30 British time, 9:30 start local time, I think, 8:30 British time. So watch that. And obviously FA Cup weekend. So there's nothing good on TV football-wise until... And so thankfully we've got the World Cross about, you know, just before 3 o'clock on a Saturday and rolling through till 5 o'clock. And I think World Cross definitely on BBC iPlayer, Valencia, YouTube live stream, I'm pretty sure, 100%.
Mate, you mentioned a football. I haven't even asked you. Who do you boys want to get in now? Now Marin's gone.
Oh, mate, I mean, are you talking from a West Ham perspective or a Man United perspective? Because
well, which team do you support, mate? It's one of the Uniteds. You're never really clear on which one.
I have a upper table team and a lower table team, mate. No, yeah, it's bad. I mean, it's bad from West Ham and Man United perspective at the moment.
Yeah, not good. At least Real Madrid are doing all right, so you're okay.
I'm not following Real Madrid, actually. It's not Champions League
yet. They're not as good as Arsenal, mate.
So, but I tell you what I'm struggling with is a bloody fantasy, mate. I just can't get it right, so I need some serious coaching.
I retired a couple of years ago from fantasy. Too much stress.
I'm too impulsive, mate. Like, one guy will have a good game. I'll be like, I need him in my team. And he, of course, he has a stinker the following week. And the guy I got sub out has a great match. It's just, too hard to predict.
That's, mate, we should go back to doing, do you remember when we used to do Fantasy Diamond League?
Yeah, it's a thing. Actually, I had on that.
We should do that again and get a Sunday podcast league going. We'll do that this summer.
They don't do Fantasy Diamond League anymore, mate. It's not.
Is it not a thing?
Nah, man.
Is that why we stopped? Is it?
Yeah, because it was bloody good. I mean, you're going back. I reckon Fantasy Diamond League, it was 2015? Like 2014? That's when it was class, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I remember doing
it. So good.
I presume we'd just forgotten about it.
I remember this is when like Perkovic was unbeaten in like 100 discus.
Yeah, always go field events just, because they don't
field,
have stingers.
Yeah, field yeah. event. There's never any surprises.
Valerie Adams as well.
Yeah, it was Valerie Adams, Perkovic, I don't know, maybe, like someone in the javelin or something, like Thomas Roller in the javelin when he was in his prime. But they were just clean up. And then like
Joe Kovacs.
Yeah, and you were trying to predict like the men's 1500. It was impossible back then. Like it was like, you know, I think those were the days you'd put Kipsang in and then he'd like... Yeah. Get stuffed and Magalufi would win in a rogue 800. It was, that was good. Oshim used to dominate the high jump. Yeah, God, it was just, it was teams just packed.
That was the era though, mate. That was the era. Golden years.
Anyway, right.
Anyway, yeah, we'll make something if not.
Have a good weekend. See you all.
Thanks for listening to us.
Next week.
Good to be back. Hope you guys had a good break as well. Hopefully you enjoyed us being back and listening to us ramble on as well. So catch you guys very, very soon.